Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, After Buzzers? We are back with another episode of Orange is the New Black. Just as Maritza came in, she's already leaving us again. Tasty's back in the warden's office, and Aleda is also back in the slammer. We are talking all things Orange is the New Black right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everybody?
Hey.
Welcome back for another episode of our Orange is the New Black After Show. Another emotional episode.
I know.
I still don't know how we're dealing with everything, but we're here. I'm April Wissenhan, joined by my lovely co-host, Brianna.
Hello.
And Francesca.
Thank you.
And Leslie.
Hey,
thank y'all so much for joining us. We have our chat. I'm in the chat right now, so let us know what you thought. A friendly reminder to everybody that we have not watched ahead. We are only at the current episode, so episode 5 that we watched. So if we're saying things that don't make sense because you've watched the whole season, just know we haven't watched it. And don't spoil it, please.
No spoilers.
Y'all, such an emotional episode.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I cried this time.
Aww.
I really did. I was glad I was in the trailer by myself this time because a tear like trickled down.
No, I was this close too.
Yeah.
I was so close.
Like,
a couple things hit me pretty hard, but I was like.
Every episode lately, though, this season, it's like they keep hitting you with the gut punches.
Mm-hmm.
They are just not giving happy situations to our girls at all. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is bleak.
Right? I keep feeling like we have to get some, but, I mean, maybe not, as we see tonight. So much happening, obviously. We have so much to talk about with y'all tonight. Be sure to stay tuned because we have our special segment, also some great news and gossip, and we want to talk predictions still, even though the whole season has aired, but we have not seen it yet, so we can still predict everything, right?
You guys watching live can laugh at us if we're wrong.
Right,
because
exactly.
You already know.
We're like, we know this is going to happen. We're probably so wrong, but that's okay. I want to start off with, to me, to all of us, probably number one thing upsetting Maritza, obviously, being deported. I want to talk about the details of it all, but shocked that it happened or not shocked that it happened?
Shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked.
I think I'm going to say shocked.
And it happened so suddenly. I like get chills thinking about it because it's so sad and it's such a real situation for many people.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing it just happen to someone we care about and for doing something that she thought was right and just having this be a consequence. And the shot at the end of the episode was so chilling.
Yes.
I know.
But yeah, absolutely shocking.
It was like, do you guys watch Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah.
You know, it has the focus on her. Except this was just like way so sad.
I mean, you know, if you're talking comparisons to Handmaid's Tale, then the show got really dark.
That's very true.
I
was definitely shocked because, you know, they brought her back for us. They didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the turning point was when she had a weakness and she saw everyone else in there having in the same boat as her.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided to share that number.
Yeah.
And those guards were watching. Then I was like, I didn't think she was going to get deported, but I was like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah, I didn't think she would get deported either. But like you said, it's a great turning point because it shows how much she's matured.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she knew that there was a risk because at first she said, don't share it, like, don't let anybody know. And then eventually she was like, F it, I see all these people suffering, I want to help.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought they would just transfer her somewhere really far, like Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But to deport her, that was a lot. I was really sad.
But see, even that, like, you know, with these inmates, we see that they get deported to other places. That's usually, like, the course of action there. But, like, this is a totally different system, and we hadn't seen it yet. So that's why we hadn't even considered the possibility that she could be sent to a country she's never lived in before. And that's crazy. And it just shows you how different, completely different track and system these, you know, women or people are in when they're in this no-win situation.
I mean, they talk about it constantly, meaning the characters on the show, like, this can happen at any moment. We never know. You know, obviously, we see the situation with Blanca where she's just gone, and they have no idea. They wonder the whole time, is she at a hearing? Is she not? With Maritza, I think I'm shocked because it's like, she was only there for this many episodes, so you would think that as a show, they're going to keep her for longer. So, I mean, that's like bringing in the TV to it, so that's not the importance, but I think that's actually why I was so shocked, which is totally has nothing to do with the situation, obviously. But also, just because it's like, so she automatically got put into the situation for trying to help people, and... I mean, she knew better. Like, you can tell in her face. Yeah. I wish she would have... I mean, it's happened, so it doesn't matter. And it probably would have happened anyway because of her handing out the number. But in the way that she did it, I was like, no.
I know.
Everybody's looking right now. Please don't do it.
And that's why a part of me feels like maybe she noticed them seeing and she didn't care. Or maybe she was very oblivious. It looked like she was kind of oblivious to it.
Yeah. I think she was just trying to hurry along and give as many people the number as she possibly could.
Yeah.
But even when she did it, before we see them looking at her, I was like, this is just bad news bears because everyone's looking. Yeah. And it sucks that she's just trying to help people, but is paying the ultimate price herself.
And maybe she did it so quickly and in such a manner because she knew she might change her mind later. And in that moment, she was feeling like, no, you know what? This is the right thing. I'm just going to do it before I change my mind. Mm-hmm. And I think what's cool is, like, you're right. We just got this character back. And she's only been here for a handful of episodes. And now she's gone. And I feel like it just shows you what a good job the writers of these shows of this show did, because like we she was gone and like she's back. We cared about her so quickly once again, and then like they got us. And even in these few episodes, she's grown so much. Like, she was like, you know, judging the girl or the woman sitting in the bathroom, like, you know, giving her the side eye, like, oh, you just, you're making the smell. And you know, she was judging everyone around her, like, no, you know what, I'm better, I'm a citizen. And then she quickly turned into a place of like, oh, well, I understand and I have empathy. And from the start of her being in this detention center to at the end where she didn't want to help, she was above them, and then she went from like risking her own situation to help them others, like how quickly she grew. And I feel like that's really cool.
Definitely.
I just wish she waited until after she met with her lawyer. I'm like, dang, you couldn't wait just a couple more days or maybe just a day. So I hope it wasn't all in vain, because they said once they find out about you guys contacting lawyers, they're gonna shut it down. So can you imagine her doing all of this, risking herself, getting sent back to Columbia, and then they shut down the phones and they can't even make the calls?
That's probably exactly what they did, because as soon as they see her doing this, I'm sure they went over to everybody and grabbed the paper to see what it was. I mean, that's thinking ahead, obviously, and it doesn't matter ultimately, but it's like you're probably exactly right, because they're going to find out quickly. All they have to do is dial the number and see what it is.
Exactly.
I also, this just came like into my brain. I'm like, really, we shouldn't be shocked, because what was she actually, I'm asking this like to educate myself, what would she have actually done? We obviously found out last episode that she was not born in the United States, so what could she have done? Is there anything?
Maybe we could make the case that, like, this is the only home she's ever known. She didn't choose to come here as a child. I mean, you know, that's a lot of dreamers that they're in that situation where they were brought here. And so, I mean,
you basically have to find someone that is willing to help you.
And I don't know the whole legal situation of how that, but I mean, there is a path, hopefully, or at least attempt to try to, like, figure out a way to stay here.
Well, we saw Blanca in the courtroom. But we didn't even get a chance to see Maritza doing that. So it's almost like they just skipped a step and were like, you're out. So it kind of sucks because we don't really know what happened to get her to that point. But I would think the step would be the court hearing, which she didn't even get.
Right. And that's what they kept saying, that sometimes people don't even get them if they've done something, whatever. Or maybe she did and she just didn't know what to say. She didn't know to say, oh, I need a few more days to meet with my lawyer. She just thought, this is what it is, and I can't prove that I was born here, so here I am. Which is just crazy, because the government expects you to know those things. Like, I wouldn't know that. I was born in the United States. There's no way I would know
that. Or, as that courtroom scene showed, like, not only do people not know about it, but maybe they don't want you to know about it, or maybe it just makes it easier. The judge was annoyed at Blanca for, you know, saying her rights. He's like, oh, you copied her. Well, yeah, I mean, if I'm learning something that's going to be advantageous to me in court, why wouldn't I do this? Like, and he was like, oh, well, thanks for wasting our time. It's like, well, she didn't ask for this hearing. She was brought here before. before she got a chance to even talk to a lawyer about this. The whole situation wasn't fair. So it's just, it's a terrible system, and the show is doing a good job of reflecting what's happening. I mean, the last shot with them at the airplane, they're all disappearing. I was reading a couple of comments online, and it's kind of like, this is a group of people that, like, people just want to forget. They want to ignore them, to disappear, mm-hmm. almost like they're not human. And mm-hmm. I think that's what that shot at the end was, like, they slowly just disappear because yeah. we don't want them anymore. We just want to ignore them. And yep. it's really sad.
It is. On the Blanca situation, another question to be better educated about it. So she's in this situation where, you know, we know that her green card, I don't know if it's officially been revoked, but it will be, or she has to go through all these extra steps. But what her thing is that she's going to wait and try to find a lawyer, which she has the code, so maybe she will get one. Mm-hmm. But what if someone can't find a lawyer? They keep postponing it, or are they allowed to eventually just be like, no, you got to go?
Well, I don't think most of them don't even know that they had that opportunity to say that.
Yeah.
So I think most of them would just...
But like in Blanca's situation, would they just keep going until they, like, saying the same thing until they get more time? Or
I doubt that they would be that patient.
Yeah.
But I think it will work maybe the first time, possibly the second time. I think by third strike, you're out. Like, if you can't find a lawyer yet, you gotta go. Because the fact that the judge looks at it as you're wasting this court's time rather than saying you're fighting for your life, trying to defend yourself... Mind you, English is not your first language. Right. You have no legal history or educational history, so you have to defend yourself and do what you have to do. Mm-hmm. So I highly doubt that they would let them keep going.
I don't know if the system is meant to be fair, but I would hope that they do continue extending it, because if the reason they're delaying is because she's supposed to have a lawyer and mm-hmm. she's unable to obtain one because she's in this restrictive situation, then that's not on her, and so they are still not affording her the right that she's supposed to have. So I would hope that they keep allowing her the time that it takes to get, because again, that's something beyond her control. But we also see the situation with Maritza, and we don't know if she got the whole due process, so it's almost like you don't know how much of a fair shake they're going to give you.
Right. I don't think she got the process, because remember in the there was a scene when they were talking about they either bring them or take them early in the morning or really late at night, so mm-hmm. they're groggy mm-hmm. and there's no fight, so it's like they take advantage of that fact of that course. They can't fight back,
which is so crazy. And then even the scene with I think they gave us her name, Rosanna, maybe? I could be totally wrong. The lady who goes right before Blanca mm-hmm. and is the one who gives her the idea to ask for the lawyer. Mm-hmm. She says, you know, flat out, she's like, it's on the government. It's on you to provide you have the burden of proof. You have to prove that I'm not an actual citizen, not me. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if, like, they just eventually have to figure it out, meaning, like, the other side.
Yeah.
So the ICE side, if they just eventually have to be like, okay, she's going to keep postponing, so let's do this. Although you can tell that it's just like, you know, they're just going one after the other, and it's difficult because we know that this is what's happening in real life, and it makes it more difficult to watch. Like, literally sometimes watching, I find myself just like sitting there like a ball of stress, cringing. You know, we take so many things for granted, just the opportunity that we have to, like, be able to sit here and to see this happening every day. And they're doing a great job of, you know, kind of formulating it to where you understand it, but also, like, you know, it is still a television show. Mm-hmm. But it's just sad, and I still can't get over
it. I know.
So many tears.
Flocka and Maritza, one episode together, that's all they get? And then she's just, like, taken away.
Yeah.
The worst.
Whatever.
You know, it really bothers me to know how many, like, how the lawyer just said, well, she filled out a document that said she's an a citizen of El Salvador. Mm-hmm. And the woman said, like, I didn't fill out any document. I don't know what he's talking about. If he can't show you that document, then I'm throwing that out. That doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy because in the real world, I wonder how many times lawyers use that tactic, mm-hmm. knowing damn well they don't have a document saying that. But they know that as an immigrant, they're like, oh, shoot, well, maybe he does have a document. Yeah, so I guess I just have to take this L and go back to my country.
Right.
So it's just crazy how they just take advantage of the entire situation.
Yeah. Well, you know, that other show on Netflix, When They See Us, about the Central Park Five. Mm-hmm. It showed you how, like, they take advantage of, like, people who are scared or who are vulnerable. Like, I actually had the thought, like, maybe she did sign something, but she didn't read it. Or right. maybe she did it because she was stressed or they threatened yeah. her or she needed food or, you know, it was in a different language or so forth. So it could even be a situation where people sign things that they didn't know what it says and it's mm-hmm. not truthful, but they're under duress or they're under this stressful situation where they're like, oh, you know, if you sign this, you'll get to see your kids. Right. Or if you sign this, you know, you'll get released. Oh, and yeah. you don't know what's happening.
Yeah, people take advantage of people who are scared all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in prison and ICE.
Yeah.
As we see in the show. Some other people, you know, obviously I mentioned Flocka a second ago. They're still in the kitchen doing their thing, which is the whole yeah. reason we even are able to, you know, have Maritza talking to the lawyer in the first place, because they're able to get them these. Well, Flocka has the contraband phone, and there's just a lot of stuff going on that I keep getting afraid that everybody's just going to get screwed. But that's neither here nor there. They're doing their stuff to try and help everybody. Gloria is, you know, going out of her way to help Blanca and using the phone for her. It's what's scaring me, and maybe this is me being, this is me being a little selfish, but it was scaring me for Gloria, because I'm like, you're doing the right thing, you're trying to help your friend, but then with these flashbacks, last episode with her, I'm just like, oh gosh, please don't get caught and get more time, because you have a lot of people counting on you. So I'm getting nervous for her, because she's still trying to do stuff to help Blanca and still trying to find her boyfriend, I guess, mm-hmm. which just kind of makes me a little nervous, but I don't know. The rest of the kitchen crew, I mean, mainly Red is just, what are things going on? Brandy, you... Maybe Francesca too. Y'all guess that there is something mentally going on with her. Yeah. What do you think it's Alzheimer's or just dementia? She doesn't seem to be that old, by the way.
That's the thing. Like, her age, that's why, because next episode I'm going to look up, like, the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's. But I think it's one of the two. Mm-hmm. And it's just because of the fact that it's starting really slowly. Mm-hmm. And she's aware that there's something off, but she is so angry by it, and she doesn't want to believe that there's something wrong with her, that she rages and takes it out on everybody yeah. else. Mm-hmm. But you can see that Nikki and Gloria are, like, looking at each other like, what's wrong with her? And even you hear Gloria have a little sympathy and talk to her kind of childlike, yeah. knowing that she's confused, she's a little frightened. So it sucks, because I thought the kitchen crew would be our comedic, like, relief. Mm-hmm. And when you see what's happening with Red, it's like, dang, I can't even really laugh at this either. I want to laugh at a joke Nikki says, but then I'm looking at Red looking all sad. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They're trying to make it work with, like, they'll give Nikki a line or two every now and then, but then you have, like you said, Red right behind her. You have Lorna right behind
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God, even worse. But it's not worse, but... I mean, dementia and Alzheimer's are pretty darn similar when you think about, like, mm-hmm. what happens. Definitely there are differences. But I think what makes it worse is that, you know, where two episodes ago, it doesn't, from what we see anyway, it didn't seem like she was necessarily noticing anything. But to see her looking in the casserole mm-hmm. and pouring the whatever that was.
The raw pasta.
The raw macaronis. Pasta,
right. And it to try to fix it, and that wasn't even right, and... I mean, obviously, we know the kitchen is what has always... her family makes her the happiest, but being in the kitchen makes her very happy. So mm-hmm. I think feeling and seeing herself lose control of that is probably even more difficult than, you know, just being in jail and kind of yeah. feeling it in that way.
Honestly, the scene where she realized that she was the one that made the mistake after she's been blaming them all this time, that I think, besides Maritza, that was, like, one of the hardest for me to watch mm-hmm. because... You know, people that do have Alzheimer and dementia, like, sometimes, you know, they go in and out of it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, just how sad to know, like, realize it, but also realize that you have no control over it. And there's mm-hmm. nothing you can do. Like, that just really, like...
Yeah.
Gets you.
It really hit me. And, but I'm so thankful she has her, like, family. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we see Gloria at the end, like, oh, must have been me mm-hmm. that put the salt. Oh, my gosh. Like... And she's trying not to make it a big deal, and that's good that she has it.
that support. Yeah.
And someone like Red, who was always such a like fierce mama bear with, you know, her girls, she took care of them, you know, with Nikki's addiction and with all of them, you know, sort of going through really tough times behind bars. And now, you know, she's at this place. And I was still like, I didn't catch that early on that she might be slowly deteriorating.
Yeah. I didn't either. I just thought it was like
from the shoe. Like maybe she still had like, you know, effects dealing from being in solitary for so long. And I'm still wondering if that, like, again, I don't know how, you know, these deteriorating diseases begin and if that was a factor in that at all. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm hoping that, or I'm pretty sure that the family that she has built, you know, within the prison will be there and help her. And, you know, it will be sad to see her slowly, like, descent a little bit more.
Yeah.
I wonder if, because she got a head injury. Because remember the scar? I can't remember how she got it.
Well, he scalped her. But also, like, you know, cheated her up a little bit.
Yeah,
as well.
I'm wondering if that could have put a, you know, an extra push or, like, an onset of something in her mental that caused it.
Being that with the shoe and everything that happened with Frida the day that she was finally supposed to see her kids or her grandchildren, sorry. I mean, that's going to drive anyone into some crazy stuff. Absolutely. And I think that it's definitely, you know, a determining factor in making her be at a place where, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's can happen, you know, relatively quote unquote young. And sometimes, you know, if it's in your family or whatever, then it can definitely happen in you faster. But it's just, you know, she's Red. She's that, you know, very strong woman who's one of the leaders, has been throughout the show. So, you know, you would think that they would give us a little bit there, but it doesn't seem like that either, but that's okay. Also, Jay Birch in chat, you are wrong for this. You said Red and Lorna are a hot mess together. Oh, my gosh. Y'all, Lorna, Lorna, I'm worried about.
I mean, we were talking about this last episode, but she's, like, already kind of, like, always been off.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in the deep end, and, like, it's really sad. She should be in Florida.
Yeah, you said that last episode. It's just going to get worse.
She lives in a world of delusion, and she's always sort of created fantasy situations. And when she got married, it was, like, the one time that, like, a situation actually came true for her. But when her reality doesn't hit her dream, she will make it up and she will believe it and take it as far as she can go.
Dang, that is scary. Right? I could not have a friend like that. That is draining.
Oh, what is that? I know. It is. And to think, like, I know this wrong episode, but I just have to say, like, she's posting a baby that does not even look like her baby. Like, she literally googled white, black-haired, cute baby or something like that. And I was like, that baby does not look like yours.
It's just sad. I mean, the fact that she was making up fake nicknames, although they were, like, really kind of cute, like Stinky McTurdlet.
And Caputo.
Caputo. I was like, oh, this poor girl. Like, she's just, like, doing all...
That's sick.
Doing all the work.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's got some stuff going on in her mind.
That's what it is. Like, she's in pain, and she does not want to deal with that.
Right. And she's not telling anyone, which of course is just going to make it worse. Yeah. And everything's going to build up. And guess what? When she does finally explode, like we've seen her do before, because that is part of a, you know, we don't know that she has a condition, but she clearly had, there's definitely something that's not just totally, there's something going on in there.
Yeah.
You have a lot of stuff going on too, right, Fantastic?
No, I was thinking about tater tots and how there's tater tots in this episode.
Tater tots sound delicious.
And also blueberries, but before we get to those magical blueberries, I just wanted to say thank you guys for making us the ESPN of TV talk. And we want to you guys help us to continue to grow. So if you're on YouTube right now, make sure you hit the thumbs up and the subscribe. And if you're listening on iTunes, give us 5 stars and let us know what you're thinking. We appreciate everyone who's in our chat right now as well. No matter what form you're listening or watching on, make sure to leave comments and get involved in our conversation. And thanks for being part of that.
Thank you.
Yes, thank y'all so much. Sal Syracusa in chat says it was V who beat up Red in season 2. So she's been beat over the head quite a few times.
Who V?
V. Remember Tasty's, not mom, but Tasty's mom.
Oh my God.
Who got hit by the car. Yeah. Then she got hit by the car and
forgot all about
she was
all
nasty.
That.
Damn, that's a throwback.
That is a throwback.
We got a lot of throwback characters this episode and last too. So I enjoyed being able to see those people again.
Yeah.
Also, who we're seeing again? Piper.
Oh, Piper again.
To her. What were they called?
Bloobs.
It's just like every episode you're like, how much more annoying can Piper get? And she keeps finding new ways.
I think they're trying so hard not to make her that way, because I think they're just trying to show us another side. But it's just not working.
She's just whiny.
Well, no.
That's all she is.
Yeah, whiny. She's definitely whiny, but I think they are kind of trying to show the little privilege that she feels, because this parole officer is, like, my favorite.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
came in there and humbled her so quick and said, you know, there's people in here that have, like, 4 kids, yes. working 3 jobs, and they're doing anything to survive out here, and you're too busy thinking about, you know, what you want on the inside. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't reel it in and focus, you're going to end up right back in there. Mm-hmm. And also, your pee's wrong.
The vaccine did not work, honey.
Right. Come on, her brother. How are you going to listen to her brother?
But you know what? That's what she gets, because Piper knew the right one to pick, because Cal is a easy enabler for her.
Yeah.
And Piper knows how to try to sweet talk, finesse, and give you a compliment and then ask for a favor. Like, she's that girl.
Right.
And mm-hmm. she knows how to do it. And Cal's just a dope. Like, he's gonna go for anything, have a good time talking about a snow day. Girl, you are 30-odd years old with how many responsibilities right now?
Zero.
You have a job handed to you by your dad that you low-key threw away because you had a temper tantrum because he got mad at you.
Right.
If you don't get a grip, or go back to jail. I want to see Piper go back to jail.
Well, here's the thing with Piper. It's like, I actually think the show is purposely trying to show someone who doesn't have a grasp of her reality, who doesn't see all of the... Like, I think they want her to be annoying, because, like...
They're doing a good job.
Yeah. Perfect writing.
Well, because, you know, time and time again, she's always given the benefit of the doubt. She's always given slack or some mm-hmm. sort of benefit. And she uses it to her advantage, but then also she continues to... Anything that doesn't quite go her way, she gives the, like, little poor deer, you know, like, oh,
and
no,
cry.
This is, like, the...
Yeah, she did.
This is so hard. I can't drink alcohol. Oh, my God.
I know.
I mean, like, I get it. I would want to drink as well, honey, but I didn't just get out of jail, so I'm going to have a drink if I want it. Her, it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, I fully... Anyone can relate, and that's the thing, like... Take everybody's situation out of it, but like if you're forced to do something because of this, like, that sucks. You're working at a job that you don't think is fun, because what? At least you have a job.
Exactly.
At least you have a place to live. You have a brother. The other thing I couldn't get over was, even before the weed, I was like, alcohol appears in your urine as well. So that didn't make sense to me that she drank an entire bottle of tequila and was having a Bloody Mary.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
I Googled it because I was like, is it? I know. I was like, I'm pretty sure it does. But it said it can be in your urine for up to 12 hours. So I was like, is she just not doing that today? Or what's the situation?
I did not think about that. That's a really good point.
Yeah, but so maybe she planned on, like, doing something. And obviously that gets out of your system way faster than, you know, any trace of weed would. But to me, I don't know, just to see her... It's like, I'm happy that the parole officer gave her a shot by going to the alcohol classes, whatever it is. Or I think it's actually Narcotics Anonymous. I think
probably.
She said
Narcotics and not Anonymous.
Oh, yeah, because she was smoking weed, not because of the alcohol. Mm-hmm. But not smoking weed. She ate a blueberry. But I'm happy that she did that, because I don't want to go back down the Piper goes to jail route, because whatever.
Yeah, I've been there, done that.
But... I don't know. I feel like
she's still going to complain,
to be honest. And what's worse is that, like, every time she talks on the phone with Alex, she gets so on Alex for, like, you know, you have to do everything you can to be safe in there. Don't break any rules. I need you to come out. And, like, Alex can't avoid these situations, whereas, like, Piper can. Mm-hmm. And she is, like, doing the opposite of what she gets mad at Alex for doing when she has no control over the situation. So it's more infuriating. And then it makes me think, like, if Alex was the one who was out and Piper was the one inside, like, she would not be this little crumbling mess of a person who just complains about everything. So it's just like she's insufferable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's very selfish.
Yes. Alex, we are still having these, like, the weird little meetings with McCullough that are very, you know, I don't want to just throw it out there because...
Blurry?
Yeah. Obviously we know Alex is a lesbian. I'm pretty sure McCullough is not. I think we've talked about her with men
before.
I think
she's interested.
Yeah.
But I'm like, she's giving out vibes.
Yeah.
Vibes, for sure.
Because she was like, she said something about It must be nice to be in a relationship with a woman. Mm-hmm. And yes, the way she said it, I was like, are you jealous?
And the way that she flashed that lacy bra, too. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Like, if you're doing that, just like, oh, I have stuff to my bra that I'm giving to you, I'm going to be like, I don't care if you see my bra. But if I'm like, if I want you to see my bra, I'm going to be like, oh my God, here's this fin charger.
And she's like, choosing a very pretty bra. It's just like, that's not the bra you wear underneath your, like, prison uniform.
No. Mm-hmm. And she goes out of her way to go to the storage unit.
Okay, I blinked for a second when I was watching that scene, but does she smell some of the clothes?
No.
Okay. She, like, put them up to her.
I was like, I had, like, looked down, but I didn't have time to rewind, so I was like...
You know what's so funny?
Did she just smell that?
I thought she was going to smell the t-shirt the way she was holding it. Yes. I was waiting for her to go, like... But she didn't.
She didn't.
Also, how does Alex still pay for a storage unit? That's a moot point.
I didn't even think about that.
But I just want to know, because they're, like, a couple $100 a month.
Maybe it's a friend's, and she's keeping something... I don't know. You don't need to answer that question.
Exactly. Let us know how Alex is paying for the storage unit.
The little things.
She is giving these phone charges out, and that's how we see everybody talking to everybody. The other people still dealing. Our girl, Daya.
Oh, man.
Having her moments with Tasty. Very, very, very difficult stuff to watch, obviously, with everything that's going on with Tasty. But... Daya is in this mode of, I mean, do you think she's actually willing, if Tasty gets this information from the ward, you know, sneaks it obviously, do you think she's willing to actually give her the stuff to kill herself?
Absolutely.
She is stone cold now. Like, she, even the way she was speaking to her mother, which we'll get to, because that was a lot of, like, she's just like, I'm running this place. Like, she is so detached from really caring about anything. She's just, like, about her and her business and her power now, which is, like... It's kind of tough to watch. With Tasty, I was so disappointed because when she went to the ward's office, I genuinely thought she was being sincere.
Me too. I did too.
And just to see her, you know, reveal her true intentions to Daya, I was like, damn it, Tasty.
Yes, that was another really hard scene. I was like, is she joking right now? Like, she really went back and said, oh, no, I still want it. And, like, you know, she said, what did she say? Instincts kicked in when she was trying to kill herself. And I thought that would be like a wake up call, and it wasn't. And that she's like that desperate that she's gonna, the whole assistant thing is a whole ruse for her to help Daya so she can get, she can hurt herself. Like, it's just crazy.
I mean, I have hopes that like being in a situation like she's in, meaning being ward's assistant and being able to have
access
and interactions with people other than other inmates, I feel like could be good for Tasty. I really just don't want to see that actually go there with her, because that's just me loving Tasty, and I'm like, let's not go there.
I think it will. I think it will have a positive influence on her.
Oh, I thought you were like, I think it will go there. I was like,
no. I think her being in that situation, I feel like, I don't know, prediction here. I feel like she's going to be in a situation that could possibly be a good enough information to pass along that would get her what she needs, or she could choose to do something else. And I'm hoping she makes the right choice.
Yeah. I think when you're looking, oh my God, when you're trying to change, you have to want it. Mm-hmm. And so if she doesn't want to change, she's not going to really see the opportunity to.
Yeah.
But I think that seeing that Cindy is getting early release, I think that's going to motivate her. Either she's going to turn stone cold, or she could get information about Daya to use against her and see if that could finesse her into getting an appeal or some type of something. I don't know. I don't know how the system works.
Yeah.
But it would be a smart thing to at least try. I know she doesn't want to be a snitch, but it would be something interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, Tasty definitely would be going against everything she believes in. But ultimately, it's like I want her... You know, it makes me sad to think that, like, I've almost given up on Daya at this point because I don't ever want to give up on her because, like, there's always a chance. But I guess with Tasty, I'm just like... Please do something and not get to that level that she's at. But seeing her face when she sees the early release for Cindy was, I mean, I don't know.
I'm really interested to see where that's going to go, what she's going to do with that information. Mm-hmm. But on Daya really fast, which kind of leads into Elaida as well, I was actually happy when she told off
me too.
Her mom. Mm-hmm. Because yes, she's in this place where she's stone cold and it made her able to say these things to her, but like her mom literally helped make her this way, mm-hmm. you know, nature versus nature and nurture. Mm-hmm. And she like laid it to Elaida straight.
Okay. But in this episode, you also saw Elaida's mom, who, you know, if you thought Elaida wasn't not a good mom, mm-hmm. you know, you saw an even worse situation where she was essentially pimping out her daughter.
Literally actively was. Pimping her out.
Yes. Yeah.
And I feel like Elaida is such a strong personality, but she does care about her daughter. She just doesn't know how to show it. Like, she cares about Daya, but, you know, in that moment, she doesn't realize she's insulting her. She's
yeah,
like
she's not a nurturer.
But, I mean, she, you know, firsthand knows what it's like to be, you know, an underage girl having to be with, like, an older man, and mm-hmm. she so desperately wants to protect her daughter from that, mm-hmm. but she just, like, she just does not know how to handle a situation carefully.
And yeah. then she violates parole.
Yeah.
And now she's in the back of the cop car.
She didn't just violate parole. She just went.
She went crazy.
Insane. She went ballistic. And but we can get it. Like yeah. that's your daughter. You see being put in this situation that you know is one of the worst situations that she can be put in. But I keep thinking. I'm like, look what you've shown her as an example. Why would she know to do anything different? Mm-hmm. Not blaming it on Elaida. Her daughter's actions are her own. But it's like we've talked about so many times, the cycle of Elaida's mom doing this terrible stuff to her. Okay, maybe Elaida didn't directly pimp her daughters out, but like she's done some stuff with Daya. She knew that men did stuff to Daya and totally looked over it, mm-hmm. i.e. her ex-husband and ex-boyfriends and whatever. So there's the part of me that's like, when the daughter runs away, you know, when they're in the store shopping, I'm like, of course, like, you've only shown her that, you know, men are used for this and this and this. Mm-hmm. So it's, I'm almost like, what do you expect her to think is the right thing to do in this scenario? Yeah.
See, I might be playing devil's advocate.
I love devil's advocate.
I guess, mm-hmm. but to me, I honestly don't. I never really thought Elaida cared at all. She's multiple times said she hates kids, so that's why I'm like, why does she have so many? Well, we know why, but so honestly, her daughter, I was again with the scene with Daya. I was happy that her other daughter saw this, because her other daughter was already figuring these stuff out. Mm-hmm. She might not be the best daughter and not do, like, you know, proper and stuff like that. Talk back, this and that, but she sees what's going on and she's aware of it. Mm-hmm. And you saw she was right there with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend said, you want to try some? And she was like, no. So yes, she was bad for running away and bad for hanging out with this guy that's older than her, but I think she knows better because she's seeing things. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Elaida's ever cared, and yeah. the only reason that she flipped out like that is because her daughter was like, no, and told her F off, and she didn't mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm. I see that. I definitely agree with you, because that same scene in the store, Daya's real problem was just the age difference. Mm-hmm. It's not even like respect yourself, because she told her daughter, you know, do that stuff with guys your own age. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you don't expect your mom to say, you can get felt up and touched up, but as long as it's not an older guy.
Right.
And well, it's like, where is your motherly instinct?
Well, I saw that as like, you know, it's like when people preach abstinence to teenagers, it's like, well, no, they're going to do what they want. So she's being a realistic mom. That's how I saw it. It's like, okay, if you're going to hook up with boys, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Just do it with someone who's your age.
So let me be a devil's advocate right here. Yeah. When you have children, are you going to be like, you're not supposed to drink, but you can drink at my house because I can watch you?
I mean, perhaps. I feel like...
Because that's the kind of, like...
Well, no, that's one of those things, though. It's like, you teach your kids, like, what they should do, but, like, also have some sort of, like, realistic expectation mm-hmm. on it. And I feel like... I do think Daya cares about her kids. Not Daya. Elaida. Mm-hmm. But I think she has an anger issue. I feel like she's, like, a little pit bull. And, you know, in her relationships, in her friendships, or her kids... relationships, like, she kind of attacks really quickly.
Yeah.
And I think she attacks because she cares, but even when she says, like, oh, I don't care about kids, I hate kids, mm-hmm. I think it's just her, like, own defense system. I think she's just a really broken character, and
she's
broken. If she's tough, mm-hmm. then it might shield her. But I do think deep down she cares.
I think she just saw red in that moment of, you know, picking up the statue and whatever, because they did a good job with the flashback and kind of equating it to the situation that was happening at the moment. And
it's
even
identical.
Even thinking about the, okay, she says, go in the back of the McDonald's and drink and if you want, but don't do this with older. It's because that's what her situation was growing up. It wasn't necessarily with people her age. It was always this young girl, however old she was at the time, being with significantly older men. So mm-hmm. she knew, she, you know, that's like the trigger in her, obviously, yeah. because that's what happened for so long. It sucks to see her in that situation. And I just hope that we're not going to see her back in prison with Daya. Mm. But yeah. I guess we'll see. I don't know.
We'll see.
Anything else from the episode that we missed before we get into our games?
I'm ready for the game.
Yeah, all right. Let's do the game.
Let's
I'm
do a special segment.
Beat all everybody. You guys. Yes. No. You've been on a roll, Francesca. Like, for real. Okay, right, guys. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, 5 quotes for you guys. And you guys have to tell me who said it. So our first one is, I'm sorry for my friend on the uptake. It takes her 2 hours to watch 60 Minutes.
Oh. Was that long?
I don't know.
No, wait. Oh, my gosh. I don't know this one.
Oh, my. Why am I blanking? All right, buzz us.
It's Nikki.
I was like, it was about Lorna, right?
About Lorna.
Yeah, I knew it was about Lorna, but I can't remember who said it.
Okay, this one is easy. That's Beyonce's birthday. Does that mean she's watching over me?
Miranda!
Yeah.
Okay.
She was praying to Beyonce in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious. Okay. I know you think you're grown because you've got some short and curlies down there, but boys like that will ruin your life.
Elena. Yeah. I so hoped you would pick that line because it was my favorite
episode. Popped out like a sunshine beam. Yes. It's our finger bang anniversary.
Oh, Alex. That was...
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So gross.
Okay, here's the last one. While you're here joking around with your new flavor of the week, who knew you were into red caramel? Yeah.
That was a good one, too. Yay, we got it. Yay. Okay, y'all, and now for a little news and gossip for everybody. Okay, this isn't necessarily news and gossip, but we just wanted to point out our lovely Maritza, a.k.a. Diane Guerrero, wrote a book a couple years ago about her own struggles and family issues with deportation. The book is called In the Country We Love. She basically writes about how when she was 14, both of her parents getting deported back to Colombia, deported multiple times.
And your siblings.
Yeah, exactly. And so she... It's very similar to what she went through on the show. It's a great read, so definitely check it out if you can.
And she actually just last year adapted it for children. She changed the name slightly. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank, but she adapted it for like younger kids so
that's
they could
nice.
Also.
Awesome.
And she's a huge advocate for immigration rights. Yeah,
that's nice.
Go, Maritza.
Yes.
Okay, let's do some quick predictions. We're going to be filming episode 6 tomorrow.
Predictions.
But what do we got?
Okay, my prediction is McCullough's next visit to Alex for the battery chargers. I feel like she's going to wear that bustier she put in front of her in the thing.
No, that'll definitely going to happen. But then what happens after that?
Exactly. Yeah.
Nothing.
She's for sure. I for sure think she's going to put a move on Alex
she's
at some
to.
Point. I just don't know what Alex will do, but she's for sure going to cross that line.
I agree. I think she will. I think Alex is going to turn her down, and I think we're going to see angry McCullough.
Ooh.
And I don't know what that means.
Spiteful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's scary. I think we're going to see Red go majorly downhill, which makes me really sad to even think about. But I think that's going to happen. And I think Daya definitely is. She's just bad off at this point.
I was kind of scared because I'm wondering if this really is the end of Maritza, if like she's gone forever. I kind of am afraid that she is.
I think she is.
So I feel like since her story got such a sad and devastating ending, I'm really hoping that Blanca's has the happy ending as far as like the two, you know, ICE cases. And, you know, she has a little bit of information now. She's going to get a lawyer and, you know, maybe she reunites with Diablo at the end. I don't know, but that's what I'm hoping
for. Please, writer.
I know. Please, one happy ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank y'all so much for watching. We will be covering episode 6 tomorrow. Definitely let us know what you thought because there's so much to talk about. Y'all can find us everywhere at AfterBuzz TV. You can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant.
You can find me on Instagram at IMB_Cheyenne, C-H-I-A-N-N-E.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at XOXOCESCA.
This is Leslie. You can find me at LeslieTheFace on Twitter and Instagram.
See y'all tomorrow.
Bye. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.